Well, good morning. That's the hope and the truth we stand on, that Christ is our firm foundation and that He will never fail. Because I don't know about you, but if it was all up to me, man, there's not much hope. And that's the truth. If it's up to us, there's no hope, right? Because the Christian life, it's full of ups and downs, full of really good highs and a lot of bad lows. And our firm foundation, our one constant, is Jesus Christ, who will never fail, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. He is our solid rock. We're going to be looking this morning in Philippians 3, continuing on in 12 through 16, try to finish up this section. Paul's just calling us to press on. Kids can head back to kids' church if they'd like to. And the rest of us, let's open up to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at God's word. But yeah, life is like that, right? Christian life, it's like up and down, right? And sometimes, man, we've talked last week about, you know, putting our past behind us, forgetting what lies behind. And sometimes, man, it just feels like we're defeated by our past, right? It's hard to put behind. I saw this week there's a new women's college basketball all-time high score. A team scored 172 points. Which is awesome for that team, but not so great for the other team. They beat the other team by 81 points. So the team that won is named Grace College, so awesome, but they weren't very gracious winners, right? It didn't kind of match. They were not gracious in winning. They scored 172 points. And sometimes, like, life feels like, especially the Christian life, like you're on the other side of that, right? Like why even try? Why even try to come back when you're 80 points down? Why even try? And Paul talked about that in Romans 7. We read it last week where he's like, man, I don't do the things I want to do. I do the things I don't want to do. It's like, man, I feel defeated. And I don't know about you, but sometimes life can feel like that. And I want you to be thinking this morning, I asked you last week, like, what are the one or two areas where you just feel defeated? Like Satan's reminding you of your old identity. This is who you were, and he wants to say that's who you are and that's who you ever will be. The things that you did are the things that you're going to do and the things that you're always going to do, and you're never going to find victory. And sometimes we buy into that and we live like our old name, right? Whatever that is. And we forget that Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. And so now that we're in Christ, he says, like, man, I'm going to press on. It's like, I'm never going to get there, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to strain forward to what lies ahead. So I want you to think this morning, like, what's holding me back from growing spiritually, and how can I this morning press on towards the goal? I want to just give you a little graph here. Picture, you know, like the day, that little dot on the left, the day you got saved, the Bible says you are justified, all right? And the day on the end, that other dot, Paul talked about it, the resurrection of the dead, like there's going to be a day that you're glorified. And like that first date, like you are set free from sin, like you are saved, you are freed forever from the penalty of sin. There's going to be a day that you're going to be saved, you're freed forever from the presence of sin. But we think a lot about that first date and that last date, but the Christian life is lived in the middle there, right? And that's what Paul was talking about, pressing on towards that final date. And the idea is like you were saved, you're being saved, and one day you will be saved. But a lot of times we don't think much and we don't focus much on that middle ground. And so I want you to think like the day you are saved, are you growing closer in sanctification? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus? Are you growing in holiness? And just like to remember where Paul called us last week, verse 12, he says, not that I'm already obtained this or I'm already perfect. He's like, I'm not at the end yet. Guess what? None of us are at the end. But in this middle, like he's saying, I'm going to press on towards that end. I'm not going to sit back and just sit there. I'm going to strain forward. And so he says, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on Again, he says, I press on, I press on. Like he's trying to move forward in holiness towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to kind of continue that. And first thing I want to talk about is like why. We talked about two reasons Paul gives us last week. I just want to emphasize those again, and then we'll talk about the third one that we didn't mention. But this is the main reason, like, why press on towards the goal? Why not just, okay, we're running this race, why not just sit down and wait for the race to be finished? Like, why press on towards the goal? The main thing he really emphasizes is like, man, the greatest thing in all of life is knowing him. Like, knowing him is greater than everything else. In verses right before this, he said, indeed, verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And it's like the main reason, the biggest reason of all to run this race full speed, to run towards the end, to try to grow in holiness, is that you're running after Jesus. Like he's at the end and you want to know him more. You want to grow closer to him, right? And so the idea is like, why would I want to grow closer to Jesus? Because he's the greatest thing in all of life. Like there's nothing that compares to Jesus in all of life. In fact, I love two times in the book of John, we're reminded like how much greater Jesus is than anything else. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that word abundantly like is to the full, like have it to the greatest extent. And like life is found in Jesus. And so like why should I press on to knowing Jesus more? Because life is in him and I want more life. I want to have life abundantly. In John 15, he talks about abiding in him, like growing closer to Jesus. And here's the purpose is 15:11. He says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Like, why would I want to press on towards the end? Because I want to grow closer to Jesus. Why? Because life is in Jesus. Joy is in Jesus. He is worth more than anything. In fact, we talked about in Philippians 3:8, he says, like, compared to Jesus, everything else is filth, rubbish, trash. It belongs in the dump. He's greater than anything. And so I hope like you're pressing on because you want to know Jesus more and more. Like you're never going to know him in the deepest way until you see him in glory. But it's the same thing like saying like, why would I want to grow closer in marriage? Like we're never going to have the perfect marriage, so why even try? Like the closer you grow towards your wife or your husband, the deeper the relationship will be, the more joy in life you'll find in that relationship. Like, you don't say, like, I'm never going to have the perfect marriage, so why even try? No, like, you're going to have a bad marriage. It's better for you to be closer to your spouse. Same thing with Jesus. Like, we're never going to be perfect. Paul's like, I'm not there. None of us are going to get there this life. But the longer we're down this track, the further we run towards the goal, the deeper our life and joy is going to be because knowing Jesus is the best thing in all of life. So that's the biggest, greatest reason. But he also gave us another reason in verse 12. Why should I run? He says, not that I'm already obtained at verse 12 or I'm already perfect, but I press on. Why? To make it my own because. So because answers that question. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And I emphasized that last week. Like, why should we run? I want to know him. But also, like, man, Jesus loved me enough to make me his own. So I want to make it my own. I want to grow closer because Jesus wanted me. Like, I love that phrase, like, he made me his own. That tells me that he wanted a relationship with me. A relationship I didn't deserve. I deserved the opposite. I was his enemy. I'd done everything to not earn it. But he wanted it. And so he did everything necessary to give it to me. So why, like, to give thanks to him, just say, thank you, Jesus, you made me your own. So because of that, I want to make it my own. And so those are two big reasons, but he gives us another one, and we didn't talk about this last week. Look at verse 14. A third reason is because there's a prize waiting at the end. He says, I press on towards the goal for the prize. So Paul's like, there's a prize at the end, and I am running towards that prize. He calls it the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I love that phrase, the upward call of God, because it's a really cool, I think there's a kind of a double meaning, like God is calling us upward, in a sense, up to himself. There's going to be a day when we're up and with him, so it's upward in that sense, but I think it's also upward in holiness towards him. So there's this call, God's calling us, come to me, become more holy, and when we grow, we're growing towards this upward call. But he says there's a prize in it, like a prize waiting for us. That word prize is like a special reward waiting for those who give it their all and are awarded it for excellence. Like it's the prize that you get at the end, right? Now we give prizes to everybody, but back in the day when you were first place, right? Or when you were second or third, like you got this big trophy. It was amazing. It's like, I remember all the trophies I got as a kid. Like, man, that's what I do it for. And so Paul says, like, I want to know Jesus. That's the biggest reason. I want to thank him. That's another reason. But also, there's a prize waiting for me at the end. And he doesn't really give us much about what that prize is. There's a couple of different ideas. And one of them is, and I think this is the biggest thing, is the prize is Jesus, right? Like, what is the greatest prize in all? Like, he said to live as Christ and to die as gain. That's the biggest prize, right? And I apologize if the screens are kind of going crazy a little bit. I'm not sure exactly why, but apologize for that. But, like, Jesus is the greatest prize of all. So a part of it, I think, is, like, Jesus is waiting at the end. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, you know, those servants who were faithful in service, they faithfully served their master. At the end, there was this prize of the master saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, now you will be given much. Enter into the joy of your master. And so part of that prize is the joy of the master. But even in Jesus saying, there is part of something else that is maybe even beyond Jesus, okay? Because he says, you've been faithful with a few things, you'll be given much. So enter into the joy. That's the biggest part, the joy of Jesus. But also, there's this talk throughout Scripture of rewards, prizes given to faithful servants of Jesus. You were faithful with a few things, now you will be given much. And sometimes we don't talk a lot about rewards because there's a couple of different reasons, but the reality is Scripture talks a lot about them, that rewards will be given to those who are faithful in how they serve Jesus. And so Paul's like I'm going to run forward. I'm going to give it my all because there's a prize for me at the end if I give it my all. And so kind of two reasons I think we don't talk about rewards is it sounds a lot like, and we need to differentiate it between being rewarded for faithfulness and earning our salvation. Because sometimes, like, in a good way, we don't want to make any confusion about, like, you're doing this to earn salvation. And that's a really important thing, and it's important that we don't confuse the two, okay? Because, like, getting a reward, the reward isn't salvation. We need to be very clear, and Scripture is very clear, that salvation is a complete gift of God. Paul talked about it earlier here in this chapter, like we put no confidence in the flesh, right? He says, like, I've been given this righteousness, not by the law, but this righteousness given to me as a free gift through grace and faith. Again, like just in Ephesians, like it's entirely crystal clear. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Like grace is something you don't earn. Salvation is through grace or by grace through faith. And then if we didn't get the clue, he says, this is not your own doing. Like if he couldn't be any more clear, he's like, you don't earn salvation. And then if we're still not clear, he says, it is the gift of God. And then if we're like really, really not clear, he says, not a result of works so that no one can boast. Like, how much more clear can it be? It's like, I want to cover all the bases just in case you didn't get the first time, the second time, the third time. I'll give it to you the fourth time. Like, salvation is a free gift. You don't run and the prize isn't earned for good service to God. But rewards are something that we're given in addition to salvation, okay? And so Scripture teaches that God is going to reward us for faithfulness. So we're going to be in heaven no matter what. We're going to be with Jesus no matter what. But some way, and we don't know exactly all these different rewards, that God is going to say, man, you are faithful. This is a gift for you for your faithfulness. In fact, like, the Scripture talks about it a lot. Jesus talked about rewards a lot. We think about the Sermon on the Mount, all the different things that Jesus talked about. But in chapter 5 and 6 of Matthew, Jesus talks about rewards. He uses that word 9 times. Like, 9 times he's like, hey, God's going to reward you. Remember, blessed are those who are persecuted because their reward is great in heaven. And he talks about, like, praying, like, pray, don't do it for accolades of men. Do it because God's going to reward you. Fasting, don't do it for the rewards of men. If you do it for God, God will reward you. Serving others, don't do it for their accolades and praise. Do it because God's going to reward you. And then at the end, like, he makes it really clear where this reward is. It's in heaven. And that's one of those passages we do know and love. He says, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Notice it's not heaven, it's treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus says, like, and again, notice the active tense there. Hey, I want you guys to have as many rewards in heaven as possible. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Like, that's something active that we do. We can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Other scriptures talk a lot about it as well. 2 John 8, John says this, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what you've worked for, but may win a full reward. Again, it's not salvation, but he's like, I don't want you to miss out on reward. So watch, be careful how you live. Run hard, run towards the end, because there's a reward waiting for you at the end. And then Paul talks about it, and I love in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians how he makes sure that we know it's not salvation, but there is, based on our works, what we do, how we run, a reward waiting for us. And so in 1 Corinthians 3:12, he says, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And so fire is this idea of testing. Our works will be tested. And then he says the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And then look at verse 14. It says, if the work that anyone's done has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Notice it's conditional, right? You're going to receive this if your work survives. And then he says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And we know, like, hay, wood, stubble, all those things, straw, it's going to burn up. There's not going to be anything remaining. And so the idea is, like, you want to live in such a way that what you offer to Jesus at the end is going to last. Like, your life is going to be built on gold, silver, precious stones. And there's going to be a day, he says, that we're going to be judged for how we live. And based on that, our reward will be great or our reward will be small. Remember, it's not salvation, it's reward. And so I think that is part of what Paul's talking about, where he's like, there's a prize and I want to run as hard towards that prize as I can. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, he talks about when we're actually going, or 5:10 is when we're going to actually get that reward. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. Notice Jesus is going to judge us based on what we do. So it's works, but it's not for salvation, it's for reward. And so he says, whether good or evil. And so the second reason I think we struggle with reward isn't just because we want to make sure we don't confuse it with salvation. You don't earn salvation. It's a free gift. You work for rewards in heaven. But the second thing, and this is something that I struggle with, is like, we don't want to do it just for that, right? Like, you don't want to say, like, I love my wife just because what she does for me or what I can get from her. Right? And so we don't want to say, like, man, I just want to run this race because I'm going to get something at the end. Right? It takes away from, we want to do it for Jesus, right? And I think the big point with this is, yes. Like, you don't run the race just for the reward. In fact, that's not the main reason you run the race. The main reason you run the race is Jesus is the great reward at the end. But I think about it kind of like the cherry on top, right? There's this amazing ice cream sundae, all the different flavors, whipped cream, maybe some nuts, some sprinkles, all this amazing stuff, and then there's a little cherry on the top, right? And you don't go to an ice cream shop and say, can I have a cherry? Can I just have a cherry? Like, that's not what you go there for. It's awesome at the end. It's like something special. It's a cherry on top, but it's not the main thing. And so I think that's the thing, like, we don't run this just selfishly, this is what I'm going to get out of it, so that's why I'm running it. But here's the deal, like, the person we're running after Jesus, the one that we're running towards Jesus, he loves us. And the greatest thing, he wants to give good things to those who are faithful. And so, like, you think about, like, you want to give good things to your kids, and the relationship isn't just what you give to them, but your love for them, and when you see them faithfully serving, faithfully doing good, you just, out of your love, want to give them good things. And so Jesus loves us, and when we run hard after him, like, it's out of his nature, he gives good things, and so he is faithful in giving good things to us. And so I love how it complements, because remember I just read 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. Like, that's a good motive for running hard, right? But the verse right before that, verse 9, says, so whether we're home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Like, that's the big part of why we do it. Like, I'm not doing it just for the reward. That's not even the main thing. Why I'm doing it, I want to please him. But I think it's important that you understand one reason why you want to run hard is there's a prize waiting. Jesus at the end is going to say, good, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now you are given much. Enter into the joy of your master. Or is it going to be, hey, Dave, man, I'm glad you're here, but you didn't really live that faithfully. You were a little faithful, and so you have a little reward. But man, enter into the joy of your master. Man, I want to be running full speed, 100%, because I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So let me ask you, like, are you faithfully running? Are, like, trying to grow, trying to press on towards that goal? Or are you just running half-hearted? Or are you just sitting down saying, like, why even run? Remember, we run first, we want to know him. Second, we want to thank him. Third, there is a prize waiting at the end. In fact, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. He says, don't you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Again, we know he's not talking about, like, being disqualified from salvation. He's like, I want to run in such a way that I get the prize. That Jesus doesn't say, no, sorry, you didn't run well. Sorry, you cut some corners. You're disqualified. Paul's like, I give it my all. And notice how he says, like, he's intentional, he's disciplined, like he doesn't run aimlessly, he doesn't box as one beating the air. He disciplines himself, keeps himself under control. He wants to run well. And so that's the second big theme that we're going to talk about this morning is like how to run well. He talked about pressing on, and we talked a little bit about this last week. He gives us two ways that we're going to do this. The first is by forgetting what lies behind. So one big thing to run well is you need to forget what lies behind. And we talked a lot about this. That was kind of the big focus last week. And we talked about forgetting maybe the negatives from our past. Maybe like our past identity before Christ. Remember how Paul said, like, you were once these people. And he gave us all sorts of names, right? But he says, but not anymore. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been sanctified. You've been made new. And so I want you to remember, like, who you were isn't who you are. So don't answer to that old name. Right? Like, we can answer, like, maybe the Bible talks about names. Like, you had an old name, you've been given a new name. You don't have to answer to that old name anymore, but you can if you want. Right? Now that we're two choice people, and so when you hear that old name, I want you to say, no, I'm going to forget what lies behind. That's not who I am anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm forgiven, and I want to live by my new name. And so we talked a lot about that negative, and maybe our old identity or maybe a past sin that we've struggled with, that we've been beaten down, and we think, like, man, I can never win. I want you to think about, like, maybe if you've ever played basketball. I used to love basketball, and I practiced free throws over and over and over. You just practice shooting them over and over and over. Every time when I would go to the free throw line, I would have this thing. I had a battle of the mind. I remembered all the times that I missed a free throw, right? And when I focused on that, almost every time I would miss it. And that's the reality, is like the greatest shooters of all time, like Steph Curry, you can see the stats. Like, he's the greatest free throw shooter, the greatest three-pointer shooter. Like, he made so high a percentage. But guess what? Steph Curry has missed a lot of free throws. He's missed a ton of three-pointers. Like, all of us have missed the mark, and we continue to miss the mark. And so we need to forget. We need to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to focus. I'm going to strain forward. I'm not going to look backwards. I'm not going to think about the times that I failed. I'm going to remember that I can be new because I am made new. And so I can say no to sin, and I can say yes to Jesus. And so that was the big focus last week. But I want to talk about one other part about forgetting the past. Because a lot of times we think about, like, he says, forgetting what lies behind. But there's one other part to that. Especially when we're battling sin, and I want you to be thinking about that big struggle or two that you have. Another thing that we need to forget is past success. Okay? Because sometimes we can get lulled to sleep. We can think, like, man, I've overcome this. Like, I've had so much success, I got this conquered, right? And maybe it's a past sin. It's kind of ironic. Last week I told you about the way that God has grown me with anger. Kind of maybe this week was interesting. I struggled more with anger this week than I had in a long, long time. It's so true in Scripture that pride comes before the fall. And so just because you've had a lot of success doesn't mean you're going to have success today. And so I want you to remember, like, that the area that you think you're doing really well in, you need to forget that too. Because he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he should fall. Right? Like, just because you had victory last week doesn't guarantee that you're going to have victory today. And so we need to have really short memories on the positive side too. And we need to lean on God, trust in God, ask the Spirit for help today, because we haven't conquered that sin, okay? So past success doesn't guarantee present victory. We need to forget what lies behind. And then the rest of our time this morning, I want to talk about this. And he says, straining forward to what lies ahead. What does it mean to strain forward? I told you last week that it's kind of, the word describes those who stretch out towards the goal. They give it everything. They exert themselves. They stretch out at the finish line. And you kind of think about those runners, like when they make that final turn, they see the finish line, they actually like kick it into high gear, right? They don't feel like they have anything left, but they give it everything they have. They strain forward towards the goal. And I want you to ask this morning, like, what am I doing right now to stretch myself towards maturity? Like to give everything I have to grow in holiness. Maybe another way of saying it is, what am I doing right now that's uncomfortable, that's difficult, that's hard, simply because I want to know Jesus more and I want to run as hard as I can. I want to grow closer to him and I want to become more like him. Like, what are you doing right now that you don't have to do, that stretches you, that makes you uncomfortable simply because you want to strain forward? You want to stretch forward towards the goal. I kind of think about a few things, like maybe getting up early. Maybe that would be stretching for you. Maybe you're not an early morning person. Well, guess what? That's okay. Maybe it could be staying up a little later, like carving out some time just to be with God. You know, Jesus, in the middle of his busy, busy ministry, we know he always took time to get off in the wilderness. That's the only place he could find quiet to be with the Father. And Jesus, who, like, we would think, why would he need to that connection with the Father? If he needed it, how much more do I need it? Like, straining forward means, like, carving out time in my day just to be with Jesus. Right? Like, I'm not going to grow, I'm not going to run well if I'm not doing anything, right? If I'm not straining forward. So maybe it's taking time out of your day just to be with the Lord. Get into his word. Time to pray to him. Time to listen to the Spirit's still small voice and ask God, what would you have me do today? Just be with him. Maybe straining forward is like stretching yourself. You're like, I don't like to memorize things, but I know God's word says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So there is power in memorizing God's word. It comes back. I know it has in my life. Right when I need it, that verse comes back that I've memorized. So maybe straining forward, stretching yourself today is like just saying, you know what, today I'm going to memorize a verse. And there's a great verse I put on there, Galatians 5:16. It's just a great one about saying no to sin. It's a great one that reminds us that we can say no to sin. If we are led by the Spirit, we will by no means say yes to sin. Okay, it's good to memorize God's word. And maybe you can say, every week, I'm going to memorize one scripture. That's going to stretch me. That's one way, Ray, I'm going to strain forward towards the goal. What else can make you a little uncomfortable? Maybe it's stepping up, volunteering to lead a Bible study. You're like, I know, like, the Spirit's been saying, hey, do this, but man, it would stretch me. Man, it would make me study because I know I'm going to have to teach others. Man, I'd have to apply it because I can't tell them to apply it if I'm not applying it. Man, that's a huge thing that God's done in my life when I just said, you know what? I have all these excuses why, but I know it's going to grow me. And I want to grow. And so God, okay, I'll say yes. Maybe it's just like starting to serve in a ministry, saying like, okay, I'll just step out in faith and be a greeter. I'll step out in a little way to stretch myself to strain forward towards the goal. Maybe it's putting a check in place, that one sin that you know you've been struggling with. Maybe it's like, you know what, that one person in my life, they drag me down spiritually every time I'm with them. So because I want to strain forward, I'm going to actually put them out of my friend group. Like every time I know they bring me down, so I'm going to say no to that relationship. Or maybe like every time you know, like when you're alone, you get on your phone, you end up somewhere that you shouldn't be. And so maybe it's, I'm going to put a check in my life because I don't want to give in to that sin anymore. It's going to be some work. I'm going to have to check in and all this stuff, but I want to strain forward toward the goal and it's worth it. And so you put a check on your phone. Maybe it's meeting with an accountability partner. I think accountability partners are awesome. They're really important because guess what? They're there to tell us, hey, you're not there yet. right? Sometimes we need someone to say, hey, you're not as high as you think you are, because we all have blind spots. I love Proverbs. They just lay it out so well. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Man, there's so many times where I think, like, I'm good. I've got this covered. I've conquered this. I meet with somebody and they say, like, David, you're not as far along as you think you are. And again, we don't do this just to drag each other down or to tell each other how bad we are. It's like, man, you're not there, but guess what? I'm going to be here with you through this. It's kind of like working out. Like, it's a pain working out by yourself, right? And it's hard working out even with somebody else. But just think about, like, doing bench press, okay? Like, isn't it a lot better when you have a spotter than when you're trying to do it by yourself? When there's someone there, and then also, like, you're struggling, and they're like, you can do it. One more. You're almost there. Like, we need each other. The book of Hebrews says, let us not neglect the meeting together of the saints, right? But it says, let us spur one another on to love and good works. Like, we need each other. And maybe part of straining forward is saying, you know, it's going to make me a little bit uncomfortable. It's going to take some time in my day. They're probably going to say some things I don't want to hear. But because I want to grow, I'm going to start meeting with so-and-so. Maybe this week you could call them up and say, hey, would you just meet with me? Maybe we can meet once a month. Maybe we can meet once every other week or once a week. But I want to grow, and I know you want to grow too. So maybe it would be good for each other to spur each other on to love and good works. What are you going to do today to strain forward to what lies ahead? Again, there's hope in it, right? I want to look real quickly at verse 16. It's always been one that's kind of confusing to me, because he said, I press on, verse 14, towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Actually, verse 15 and 16. He says, verse 15, let those who are mature think this way. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And it's always been confusing to me. Like, Paul's like, okay, if you're matured, that's how you should think. But, man, if anything you think otherwise, God will advise you and he'll confirm that with you as well. It's almost like, is Paul saying, like, he's not quite sure about this? Here's what I think he's saying. And I was studying and praying on these two verses, 15 and 16. And I think what Paul's doing is he's guarding us against two extremes. One extreme is the person who thinks they're there, right? He talked about they're the mature, right? It's actually the noun verb of the verb he used. Like, I'm not already perfect. I'm not already there. That word teleos in the verb form is like, I'm not perfect. But then he says, those who are perfect. Like, what is he saying? Are they perfect? Those of us who are at the end. Well, I thought you weren't there at the end, Paul. And so what I think he's saying, I think he knows there's some people at the church in Philippi that think they're at the end. Hey, those who are think they're already there, let us who are in that mature state think this way. And so what he's saying is, like, if you think, man, I'm mature. Man, I've already grown. I'm telling us, I'm at the end. I am at maturity. He says, you need to think this way. Well, what way is this? What that you need to press on because you're not there. You need to strain forward because you're not there. You need to forget what lies behind because you're not there. And so what I think he does is, like, people who think they're there, think this way. And then he humbly leaves it to God. And he says, okay, and I think because those who are there are so prideful that they're not going to listen to Paul anyways. So he's like, if you really seek God, I'll let him deal with you. He knows that God's going to show them if they really ask him that they're not there. And so I think that first one is really a guard. Let us who are mature think this way, that I need to keep pressing on. And so I just want to challenge you. Is there any area that you think you're there? Like, you think, man, with anger, I have arrived. Or with loving others, man, I'm there. Hey, think this way. Think this way. And the way of this is, no, you need to press on because you're not there yet. So keep pressing on. But then I think he guards us against the other way in verse 16 when he says, only let us hold true to what we've attained. The main word hold true means like to live up to what we've attained, like what we've grown into and what we've been given. And I think it's a lot like that name that we've been given, saints, right? We've been given this name, like we're saints, but we're not always holy. That's what that word means. And so we need to live up to what we've attained. Like this new name we've been given, it reminds us to live up to holiness, okay? And so I think that other side guards us against it. Like, man, I'm not going to ever get there, so why even try? Like, why even try? No, he's like, hey, you've been given all of this. You've grown so much, so don't just sit there. Don't sit there. Like, live up to this holy calling that Jesus has given you. He didn't save you to let you just sit down. He saved you to let you grow into holiness. And so today, I just want to ask you, and we'll end with this. Growth doesn't just happen. Growth happens when we stretch ourselves, when we sacrifice, when we commit, when we take a plan and live it out. So today, how are you going to plan for holiness? Like, you know, if I was going to go on vacation and I was either going to drive or fly there, I'm not going to just arrive at the destination, right? I'm going to look for some flights, it's going to take some research, and then I'm going to have to buy those tickets, or I'm going to have to say, you know, that's too expensive, I'm going to drive. We're going to map out a route, I'm going to get the car ready, we're going to take the work to drive towards it. You don't just arrive at a destination. Like, you plan for it, and then you press on towards it. And so I want you to think, like, what are the two areas maybe that I need to grow the most in? Maybe it's my thought life. I really need to grow my thought life. What am I going to do today to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead? What am I going to plan out? Because I'm not just going to arrive there. I need to strain forward towards that. Maybe today it's not your thought life. Maybe it's how you relate to others in love. Like, you fill in the blank. I'm not going to fill it in for you. Where do I need to grow, and how am I going to strain forward towards that goal? Let's pray. Lord, you have an upward calling for us. You're calling us upward, calling us heavenward. And God, we're looking forward to the day when we will see you face to face, it says. And that's going to be an amazing day. But God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, pray for myself here, that we would strain forward to that day right here, right now. That we wouldn't just sit and wait. That we wouldn't just act like we can't ever grow, and that who we were is who we are, is who we will always be. But we will remember that you set us free from the penalty of sin. You've set us free from the power of sin. So let's not live like slaves anymore. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to strain forward, that you would remind us that we're new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. Help us to grow. Help us to please you. Help us to live for that day. And most of all, we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.